Well, I'm Shana Wisdom of the Alaska Ocean Observing System based in Anchorage. And I've worked up here since 2006 and have really excited to be back up here in person again. We're in town this week hosting a workshop on our backyard buoy project. But first, I wanted to give a brief background on AUSE. AUSE is an organization that funds, facilitates, and shares data of ocean observations. And this is for anyone whose lives depend on the ocean. So ranging from fishermen to whalers to vessel operators, you know, kind of whoever uses the ocean.
Subsistence hunters.
Subsistence hunters, yeah. Everyone. This includes big vessel operators, mariners, all of these different groups. And we've been working in Alaska since 2003, AUSE has. And we have specifically projects here in Ukiavik with observation tools like the high-frequency radar or HFR systems that map surface currents. So that helps, again, with marine safety. If there was a spill, you'd be able to track the spill. We have weather stations on the AIS receivers so that mariners can get real-time weather data as on their AIS system. We have a water level sensor so that we can kind of track coastal erosion and storm surges. We have ecosystem moorings way offshore, like 60 miles offshore in the Arctic, that have biological, chemical, geochemical moorings on them so that you can track changes in ecosystems. So AUSE is involved with all types of ocean observations throughout Alaska. The project today is called Backyard Buoys, and this is funded by the National Science Foundation. Our project partners are the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission, the Barrow Whaling Captains Association, and then we have other OOSEs, the other ocean observing systems from the Pacific Northwest, which is NANUSE, and then the Pacific Islands, which is PAC-IUSE, and then we have indigenous partners from all of those regions. So we have someone in from the American Samoa and someone from the Kulyu tribe out of Lapush, Washington.
So why would the local whaling captains be interested in what you do?
So this project has kind of a twofold purpose. One is these wave buoys are about a little bit bigger than a basketball. And typically wave buoys that provide wave data are huge, massive. You know, meters, it takes a big ship, takes a lot of money to maintain, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they can only be in for short periods of time and rely heavily on these big boats. These wave buoys are a little bit bigger than a basketball, and they're made to be easy to use, affordable. They're about $5,000 a piece and deployed by locals, but with small boats, and that can be put where they need them versus where a researcher needs them or weather forecasters need them. This is for marine safety, near real time conditions. And the other purpose is that this is owned and managed by the communities. So instead of researchers coming in and telling them where to put them, using it for a bit and then leaving, this is our purpose really is to have the communities own it, manage it, steward it, and then have the data in the way that they need it versus how researchers need it.
But do the researchers still use the data?
Absolutely. So it's kind of a win-win for a lot of different groups. And AUSE's role in this is that we facilitate the funding. Federal funding is really bare to deal with. You know, it's challenging, there's a lot of paperwork. They operate on a really short time scale, which often doesn't work when working with communities. So AUSE's role is to facilitate that funding. We also provide data. So our role is to make data useful for everyone. And so we help facilitate that. And so how we're doing that is working with whalers to say, how do you want to see the data? We know you use the Windy app. We know you use indigenous knowledge to look at the weather, to look at the currents. This would be another tool in their toolbox to be able to look at their phone and say, okay, it's not safe to go out today. Or here's where I could go to this launch versus that launch. So it's really for the benefit of marine safety as a tool in their toolbox.
Do the buoys, are they attached to the bottom? Do they float free or how's it work?
So it's the buoy has to be able to float free because it is the GPS movement that gets the wave data. So then it would be connected to a mooring, so floats, and then the float is connected to the ocean floor. These can be, they're called drifter buoys. They can be drifters, but that doesn't really benefit the community because then they are not in the area necessarily.
Is this unusual to work with a community for the win-win situation where you win by using their knowledge of where things should be measured based on how it's used.
It's not completely new. It just hasn't necessarily always been done well. So that is really our goal, is that this is a true co-production project where we're working with them from the beginning. They've been funded throughout this entire project, and as we just got our funding for the next phase of it, which is where we're able to buy a bunch of buoys, they've been involved from day one. So this is a true partnership versus us just having their help and picking the location. This is their project as well as ours.
We have unusual weather around here, and ice is always involved. How does ice affect these buoys?
Yeah, the ice is going to be one of our challenges. These aren't made to stay in the ice, so these will be open water season only, and those shoulder seasons of the beginning and the end are going to be challenging. Part of science is messing up and learning, right? So that's going to be part of this, is figuring out when's the right season, where's the right location. But these little buoys are pretty tough. It's the buoys themselves typically last. It's the mooring that is the issue. And so that's going to be part of our learning, is working with the communities to figure out for different regions what mooring is best. So we're working with Utqiagvik right now, but there's a goal of having this basically across the entire slope. And we brought in hunters from Gamble and Savunga and Wales here for this. There was someone from Nooksut, someone from Point Lay, Wainwright. So we're really working with all of the different communities, which of course each community needs different mooring designs because it's such a vast region.
So it sounds like it's an app that you can get on your phone. Is it difficult to use? Is it really user-friendly? How does that work?
It's not designed yet. Okay. It's designed. So what we're doing is asking community members what they want. And so the goal is that this would be customizable for the different regions based on the information they want. So our goal is that this can be used with cold, wet hands, you know, out on a boat to be able to, or from your bedroom before you head out. So the goal is that this will be easy to use and show the information that they want.
How long have the buoys been tested, and how long have they been in use in other areas?
We've used them in several other areas in Alaska. There's some other groups that have used them. Yakutat, that's a pretty big tidal area, and they've been successful there. There's probably 4,000 to 5,000 deployed across the globe at this moment. So the technology itself is not new. Really what's more innovative here is our partnering with the communities for them to design how this goes in.
Well, the communities, I understand, have to pay for these buoys. What's the cost?
Right now what we're doing is, that's part of this National Science Foundation funding, is that this initial project setup would be purchased by this grant.
Okay.
And then managed by the community. And this grant actually has funding in there to help the communities manage this. And then our goal is, our Alaska Ocean Observing System and these other OOSes are all funded every year by NOAA for these ocean observation projects. And so it would be sustained through that funding. So it's not just a short-term project. It's a longer-term goal of safety as we're dealing with such effects of climate change.
And how many buoys do you plan to deploy in this area?
Well, we're hoping to kind of start small so that we work through all the bugs and then have an array in the way that the communities want. When we've had a few meetings with the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission in the past, their goal was almost 10 to 20, depending on how they wanted it set up. But we also want to be successful, so deploying a bunch at one time probably won't work. So we're looking to have them in, kind of try a few here, a few in Kaktovik, a few in Gamble or Diomede, see how those work in those three regions, and then expand from there.
When do you hope to have this up and running?
Next summer.
Okay.
Yep. So we just got the funding. Notice that we were approved for the funding. So it should start any week now, and then we'll start to work with and hopefully come back up here multiple times as we get everything set up.
So if someone hasn't heard about this yet and has some ideas for you, how do they get involved?
They can contact me. I'm Shana Wisdom at the Alaska Ocean Observing System. My last name is Wisdom, which is ironic sometimes, but it can be wisdom@aous.org, and that's AOOS.org.
Well, sounds like a very good life and safety and aid to the local folks here, so I'm sure it's being welcomed with open arms.
Absolutely, thank you. And we're very excited that the hunters are very involved, and they will be the ones taking the lead on this. So if there's other questions, Leslie Hobson at the Alaska Eskimo Whaling Commission is also a great contact.
Okay. Shana, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you, Jeff.